that it? Good singing all the way around. We bless the Lord for how good God's been, what He's done, what He's doing. We'll take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking in the book of Proverbs tonight for our reading over in chapter number 1 in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 1, if you're able to stand, we'll look there in about verse number 1. The Bible said, Proverbs 1:1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction and to perceive the words of understanding, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment and equity, and to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain to wise counsels, to understand the proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for these that have gathered tonight. We thank you for these requests that we've been allowed to be able to present to thee. May you grant each petition, Lord, as it pleases thee in accordance to thy will. Thank you for loving us even while we were unlovable. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted. Set the captives free, we pray thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while on the subject on welcome to the doors of wisdom. Here's a man right here by the name of Solomon, and you'll find that the Bible teaches us and shows us over there in the book of Job. Job said it, chapter number 32 by verse number 9, that great men are not always wise. I know some people that have done some great things and certainly have become big in the world and society, even among the church world. And yet you'll find out they didn't really know what God said or how to make an application from the word of the Lord to the given situation of everyday life. I want to say to you, while great men are not always wise, this man right here was. He's a great man. And buddy, let me tell you, he's the wisest man that's been on the face of the earth, born among women. Now, in the lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you, his father David, no doubt, had instructed him about building the house of God, about serving God, about worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth, and about adhering to the word of God. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that the writer here in this lesson is by the name of Solomon, King Solomon, if you will, please. He's the son of David, and not only that, but he's the chosen son. David had some other sons, but here's a man, David, who is after God's own heart, that God told him, I'm not going to let you build the house of God because you've shed blood, you've been in wars, but I'm going to let your son do it. And he raised up Solomon in his stead. Number two is, I want you to notice the writings here of this man. Look at there, and don't lose your text, but look there in First Kings in chapter 4, and there's a passage over there that we ought to be looking at. First Kings chapter 4, verse number 32. First Kings chapter number 4 and verse number 32. He said, and he spake 3,000 proverbs. Boy, that's a pretty good bit, isn't it? And his songs were 1,005. And then he spake of trees and of cedar, a tree that were in Lebanon, even to the hyssop, and the spring of that of the wall. And he spake also of beasts and fowl, and creeping things and fishes. And there came of all the people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all the kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. Now, I'm going to tell you something, is that you talk about a man that was well-versed in what was going on in life. Let me say to you, while you look in 1 Kings chapter 4, back up to about verse 29. Now, here's the reason why the man is so smart as he was, is because God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, and even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan and Ezrahite, and Heman, the Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and the fame was in all the nations round about. I want to say to you that here's a man that I can promise you right now, make no mistake about it, while you turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, is over there in chapter number 12. Here's a man that you'll find was a very wise man, and it was because of the touch of God giving him such wisdom. In the day and hour that we're living in, God every now and again shows us how limited we are in our knowledge and our ability and capability. Notice, if you will, please, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 9. He said, "Moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge, and yea, he gave good heed and sought out, and he set in order many proverbs." We're talking about Solomon now, and this is what he is, here he is penning this now. He says, "And the preacher," verse 10, "sought out to find out acceptable words that was written, was upright, even words of truth." Now, I want to tell you, when you look at that, I want you to grab hold of that thought. It's because not all words are acceptable words. In fact, as God said, you're to refuse old wives' fables, and you refuse old foolish customs and things like that. But here's what he said. You ought to be careful about the word of the Lord and look at the acceptable word of God, and you ought to accept what God had to say. Hey, you know what sends people to hell without hope, without God? They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. I don't know about you, but you're here tonight and you're saved by the grace of God, same way I got saved. God came knocking on your heart. The word of the Lord enlightened you and made it real to your soul. And you received what God said into your heart. And by faith, you believed him and just received what he had to say. Let me tell you, these are part of the writings here of this man by the name Solomon, who was the third king of Israel while it was a united kingdom. All right, next of all, I want you to notice something about the wisdom of him. In this lesson that you're looking at, you'll find is that there's not anybody that can ever be compared to the wiseness and the wisdom that God gave unto Solomon. Fact is, I want you to look in chapter 3 of Proverbs and look at about verse number 13. Chapter 3, verse number 13, there's a passage there that we ought to look at. And here's what he says in that. "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies. All things that thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are of peace." I want to say to you, make no mistake about it, is that if you want to be able to be happy in your life and to be strong in the Lord and the power of his mind, certainly you ought to glean from God and the wisdom that God's wanting to give you from the blessed word of the Lord. There's a passage over there in the book of Matthew chapter number 12, that God in the New Testament begins to tell us and rehearse some things. Let me tell you right now is, whenever you look at Solomon, you're going to find out, in spite of all the faults that he had, he was the wisest man that's ever been born of women upon the face of this earth. And in the book of Matthew chapter number 12, you'll find out in verse number 42, there was a queen of the south that rose up, and Jesus said, "The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation, shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon." Now watch the rest of it. "And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." I got to tell you right now is, we can see glimpses of Christ in the wisdom that he had because that God gave him that. But make no mistake about it, there's not one that's ever been born of woman that's greater than the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a great man that old Solomon was, and yet a greater than Solomon is here. Now, that had to be impressive to people that were all around about him. I mean, wiser than anybody in the East. My word, that queen of the South heard about it. She decided, "I'm going to come. I want to hear him for myself." And let me say to you that, if you will, is that no doubt that he was wise because he is the wonder, the Lord Jesus Christ of all wonders. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, I want to say to you that not only is his wisdom manifested, but the wonder about this man, the power of God that is upon him. Here's how it happened. You're going to find out over there in 1 Kings in chapter number 3 and about verse number 28. If you read that chapter there, there's two harlots, two women. Each one of them had a son. And a few days apart even. And they had it, and they're living in the same house together. And one harlot, she's sound asleep. And the other one is sound asleep, but she wakes up to nurse her baby, finds out that it's dead. Remember that? And, of course, she goes in about midnight and swaps her dead baby with that baby that's alive and takes it to herself. And as the other woman wakes up to give her baby suck in the morning, she finds out the baby's dead, but then she looks closely and finds out it's not her baby. And as a result of that, there's a controversy that ensues. And as a result of that, you'll find out one of them said, no, the baby that's alive is mine. The other said, no, it's not. Your baby's the dead baby. Mine's the live baby. Solomon then, after listening to him, he finds and says something to one of his colleagues and one of his constituents and one of the people that are in his under his regime, bring me a sword. Now I want you to take that sword and take that live baby and I want you to cut it in half. We'll give half of that live baby to this one and half to that other one. And the woman whose baby it really was, her bowels yearned upon it and said, oh no, Lord, my king, don't do that. I'd rather see her have it and let my baby live than to be slain. And the other woman said, no, let it neither be mine nor hers. Go ahead and slay it and give us half and half. Solomon said, give this woman that wants that baby to live, give her that baby. See, that's the real proof of a mother. They want their baby to live. As a result of that, you'll find that all the world, they had the fear of God upon them because Solomon was such a wise man. I mean, I used to try to sit and think, well, how would you answer all of that? If you didn't read the lesson, how would you determine that? How would you decide that? Boy, you talk about quite a conundrum. You'd have to have something a little bit more than a box of Cocoa Puffs. You're going to have something more than man can consume or conjure up. And yet you'll find God used this incident to show the world how wise that Solomon really was. Now, I want to tell you something. You'll find out is that the Queen of Sheba that had traveled so far to hear him, no wonder. When she got done listening to Solomon, you know what she said? The half has not yet been told. Now, I want to tell you, if you can say that about a man, and you can, and she did. But if you can say that about a man, boy, how much more excellent is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You'll find out that here's a man that had compassion. Here's a man that was wiser than all men. Here's a man that this fame was in all the nations round about. In other words, he was in admiration of the whole world that knew anything about him. Now, in closing tonight, I want to say to you that here's a man that was wealthy. Not only did he have wisdom, but you'll find that he had no doubt riches and things that were beyond compare concerning things materially and monetarily, gold and silver and all of that business there. And let me tell you the reason being for some of this is because you'll find that he's been instructed by the Lord and by the Lord's men, David, namely, his own father, a man after God's own heart. But in the lesson that we're talking about here, you'll find you can't do better in this world than staying with the Word of God. It don't make any difference how sincere you are, how concerned you are. And let me tell you, there's always going to be somebody somewhere that's not going to like you. Somebody somewhere that's going to be trying to do what they can to slander you in your name. I remember whenever I first surrendered to preach that an old preacher took me aside and he said, now, Dennis, I'm going to tell you something. There's going to be a lot of controversy with a young man like you up and down the road of life. But do not waste your time trying to stop and convince and contend with every jackass that brays at you. Yes, Solomon didn't have time for that. Neither should you and I. And let me tell you, stay with the word of the Lord. You know, in this Bible, I had a deacon one time that hated me. I don't know if you can imagine that or not, but anyway, he hated me. And his argument was with something we were doing in the church and so forth, and I handed him the Bible. And he told me what he believed it ought to be done, and I said, okay, well, here's the Bible. Show that to me in the Bible. Oh, it's not in the Bible. It's in the deacon's handbook. See, that's kind of thinking that we have among Baptists in the world. Let me tell you right now, you're not going to rise above the Bible. The Bible's given us is the Word of God, and it makes the man of God thoroughly furnished inside and out. Remember that? You'll find out it's going to be necessary for your life to be able to be fruitful. That's the reason I've said over and over again, anytime somebody tells you something that they believe, you need to ask them for a chapter, for a book, and for a verse from the Bible. In the lesson you're looking at, this wise man, the Bible said a wise man will hear the word of the Lord. He'll keep increased learning. He'll attain to wise counsels. He'll not be speculative, but he'll say what God said, no more, no less. Here's what the word of the Lord will protect you from every wind of doctrine that comes blowing through. And buddy, there's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of them. I want to say in closing tonight that you'll find the way of wisdom is in the word of the Lord. It allows us to choose between good and that which is evil, between truth and that which is error. It's the word that we ought to be receiving that comes from God. The Bible said you'll find that it's like wisdom's like the wellspring of life. You'll find out that those that err and pervert instruction, the word of the Lord will keep us from falling prey to that. Many moons ago, there was a man by the name of Plato. And he had many wise things to say. I'll give you an example. He said, it's not sad that children are afraid of the dark. What's sad that is grown men are afraid of the light. That's pretty good for a heathen instructor, don't you think? And here's what he had written over his door. He said, let no one enter who is not a geometrician. Now, that's beyond my head and my thinking. He wasn't the wisest man on the face of the earth, but Solomon was the wisest man. And let me tell you the idea that he gives. Over his door, if there was one, here's what he said, let the ignorant, the simple, the unlearned, the foolish, the young and the old come in and receive instruction from the Lord. That's just what he practiced, see. I had a man tell me one time, said, you know what you need to do, Dennis? You need to go and get a little education. And then you need to go back and get a little more. If you get a little education and learn and study to show yourself approved unto God, then the people can look up to you because of the word of the Lord you represent. But then the reason why you have to go back and get a little bit more and you'll be studying all your life is because you don't want to look down on them. That's something, isn't it? I got to tell you right up front, it's good to be saved and to know Him in the free pardon of sin. I'm looking with great anticipation to the coming again of the Lord. Charles Hatton Spurgeon, he had I think 1,000 men praying underneath his pulpit area. It was up in the air and down there. He had about 1,000 men praying for him before every service. I got to tell you right up front is that our God's the same God that done all those miracles in days gone by, that brought in a man by the name of David, that brought in his son by the name of Solomon, that brought in all those apostles and those good women that were helpers in the word of the Lord and the work of God. And I want to tell you right now is you'll find that we've got something that the Old Testament era didn't have. And that is the presence, divine presence of Jesus living on the inside of our heart. You see, the power of God came on them and would leave them. He'd come on them to do special tasks, but He didn't stay. But when you and I got saved, He took up full-time residence inside our heart. Now, let me tell you, He promised to never leave nor forsake us. Now, if you do wrong, let's say you get out of line with God, you know what He's going to do? Smite your heart and get you straightened out. That's just the way it is. And make no mistake about it, this old flesh and blood that we're living in, don't excuse it, but every now and again, we're going to give in to it. And we're going to mess up a little bit and all that business there. Every now and again, you're going to be just sideways. Sideways. If you run up on this guy that don't like it because that I said something about Rosie O'Donnell being a fat faggot, ask him, what was the word that offended you? Was it fat or was it faggot? He won't know. He don't know. Well, go back and get drunk again then, son. Oh, Brother Eddie, the reason why he had all those pallbearers, I mean, listen, I'm talking about heathens to who laid the chunk. We've known them, they've known them all their life. But you know the reason why he done that? He said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I've asked this one and that one and this one and that one to be a pallbearer because I know they won't come if they didn't have a job to do, and I want you to preach to them. So when I get to heaven, I'll just say, Brother Eddie, I've done the best I could. If I'd have known then what I know now, I'd have mentioned Rosie somewhere along. And my word, 8 years ago, I don't even remember saying that at a funeral period. But if I did, it was because she was showing her behind nationwide, saying something against God and the Bible and all of that. And as a result of that, I called her what she was before everybody. I want to tell you right now is that I know I should be ashamed, but I am not. You should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank you for loving us, even while we run lovable. Watch over folks that will be traveling. Thank you for all you've done and all you're doing. Again, we ask you, Lord, that you'd hug up real close these that we've mentioned tonight. And in our time of bereavement, we just want to say thank you for comforting us. Lord, I pray that now you continue to bless these that are sick. You